Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from chapter 4, verses 14 through 21, and it can be found in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible on page 61. This is the word of the Lord. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report of him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where Jesus had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." At that, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Give us clarity and understanding of your word and message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's a unique morning when you get to the sermon and you have a chance to take a deep breath. We have a lot going on this morning, and so if you see me shuffling through different piles of papers, please forgive me, but I will be sure to get back on track as quickly as possible. This is a really powerful verse we just read. It's quite a text. Can you picture what's happening? This text is the retelling of the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. Other events, and in some cases miracles, have happened, which alluded to who Christ was. But this event detailed in the Gospel of Luke with Jesus teaching from Isaiah in the synagogue is him kicking off, if you will, his earthly ministry. He began by preaching in his hometown of Nazareth, but soon Jesus would be preaching in many other places, healing the sick, caring for the poor, and calling his disciples and followers to work with him to carry out the purposes of the kingdom. There's a lot to unpack in here, but I want to focus on the sermon that he gives, or more appropriately, the text that Jesus reads from in Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is detailing the why of his ministry while also giving examples of the what of his ministry. In this text, Jesus is staking claim as the messianic servant of the Lord. Jesus is aware of his anointing, and he is stating that this prophetic text from Isaiah 61, which those to whom Jesus is speaking would have been well aware of, he is stating that it is being fulfilled through his life. Jesus details his mission by saying, to proclaim good news to the poor, to provide liberty to the captives, to give sight to the blind, both physically blind and spiritually blind, provide liberty to the oppressed, including healing the sick, casting out demons, and yes, forgiving sins. In this text, Jesus is laying it all out there. This is my purpose. Here is my objective. This is why I'm here. In our first class of confirmation this year, and again at our first parents' meeting, I told our group that my goal was not to tell them what to believe. My goal was not just to help them understand what they believe, but my ultimate goal was to help them determine why they believe what they believe. My prayer throughout this year and my objective in all of our preparations was to help provide guidance, was to have conversations, was to provide options or insights, and when appropriate, was to give direction. But my hope was that these students would arrive at this day ready to proclaim their faith, and that they would have greater clarity about why they believe. This year in confirmation, we covered topics such as world religions, Christian denominations, Christian beliefs, and specifically the Presbyterian Church's beliefs. We tackled questions of faith that others have struggled with, and we asked the question, why do bad things happen? We attempted to challenge you. We attempted to engage you. But above all else, we wanted to equip you. This year in confirmation was about helping these students grapple with different issues and help them find clarity whenever it was available. And unfortunately, at this point, I hope you understand that clarity is not always available. This year was about learning more about Jesus, his purpose, the hope that only he can offer, and the reconciliation that we can only experience through his love and through his grace. This year is about establishing a community amongst their peers and hopefully detailing the wonderful community that they have within our church and how loved and cared for you truly are. This year was about helping our confirmands experience God, sharing with them ways that others experience God, and helping them discover the practices and exercises that are most enriching and beneficial for each of them as they grow and seek in their faith. This year is about helping these students take hold of their own faith, equipping them for their continued faith journey, and helping them to discover not only what they believe, but why they believe. On our spring retreat in March, a lot of time was spent completing activities with the objective of helping our confirmands be able to better explain and understand their faith. We created personal timelines, we created belief maps, and we had group discussions about scriptures and different faith concepts. But our main activity involved candles and light. Confirmands, if you'll remember, we were all sitting in a circle in the cabin that we were staying at, and we all said different ways that we have experienced or seen darkness in our world. Some of the examples that you gave included bullying, violence, anger, hatred, and rejection. While we shared different examples, the light slowly went out, and we sat in silence for a few moments. Now, I don't want to speak for any of you, but for me, this was a very heavy silence. With all of these intense examples hanging in the air that you all named together, bullying, violence, anger, hatred, rejection, we sat in silence, in the dark, and my mind was racing. In that moment, I prayed. I prayed for you. I prayed for the journey that you all have been on. I prayed that the Spirit would be present with us in that moment, and that the Spirit would be revealed to each and every one of you in new and exciting and unmistakable ways. And I want to make a promise to you this morning. I will continue to pray for you. I will continue to support you, and I will always be here for you, just like every member of this church will be as you continue on your faith journey. But what happened next? What happened after the naming of the darkness in the world, after the lights went out, and after we all sat in darkness, gave me hope and excitement for this group of confirmation students. We lit one candle, and we read from Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Through faith, we are to proclaim good news to the poor. Through faith, we are to provide liberty to the captives. Through faith, we are to give sight to the blind. Through faith, we are to provide liberty to the oppressed. Through faith, we are called to be beacons of hope. Through faith, we are called to love and care for others. After lighting one candle and reading Matthew chapter 5, I invited the students to come forward, light a candle of their own, and share how they were going to take light out into the world, and then return to their seats still holding their candles. And after everyone shared, we sat there in silence, looking at one another, because the entire room was illuminated by those candles. One candle in a pitch black room makes a difference, but 20 candles shining in unison, that makes an impact. My hope for you as our confirmation year comes to an end is that you grew in your understanding of your own beliefs, that you experienced God in exciting new ways, and that you created friendships that will last forever. But above all else, I hope that you will never, ever, ever forget that God loves you abundantly.